Well, good morning. We welcome you in. It is a Thursday edition of My Car Guru.
That was so nice the way you did that.
Yes.
It's almost like it's special.
Well, it's special because spring is about to spring. Did you know that?
Yeah, spring has sprung. The grass is breeze. I wonder where the flowers is. That was always my favorite little spring song, and now you've heard it.
I like it. I also like these some of these flowers that are blooming, you know, the daffodils and the crocuses.
Aren't they called... there's two names. There's a jonquil, too, right?
Jonquil.
Is a jonquil the same thing as a daffodil?
They're pretty close.
Okay.
They're not the same.
Yeah, they're really... they spring up fast, and they stick around for a little while.
They
say, hey, I'm spring, and I'm here.
Bradford pears blooming.
They're starting to. I had to have mine cut back.
So
I probably have some of the longest living Bradford pears in East Tennessee.
Really?
I planted them almost 30 years ago now, and they're still alive. Most Bradford pears don't last that long because they get really big and really thick, and when there's a big wind, they snap at the base and they fall over.
They're bad for that.
It's a genetically engineered tree. Did you know that? There is no such thing as a Bradford pear in nature.
Really?
Bradford pears were created
from splicing
and dicing.
Okay.
That's my scientific explanation, slicing and dicing.
Okay, splicing and dicing.
But, yeah, they're not a natural tree.
So you can't actually eat a Bradford pear, I don't get it.
There is no such thing as pear on a Bradford pear.
Okay. That's good information.
That's only the kind of thing that you would hear on a show about cars.
True. Where you combine pears and cars.
GM is pursuing longer-range electric vehicles. They've worked with this company called Solid Energy Systems to develop batteries that use a different technology than Tesla and Ford and some of the other companies. It is a lithium metal battery that's supposed to give ranges up around 500 miles, which would be wonderful.
That would
eliminate most of my anxiety about electric vehicle, although I have immensely enjoyed driving the Mach-E. You know, we're getting about 300 miles of range. It's rated at 270, but we're seeing 300 miles on that vehicle, just, you know, right around there. Acceleration is phenomenal and phenomenally quiet. It's just really... Tim, you would just love driving the thing. I've got to get you in that thing.
I was going to say, I probably would have driven it the other day, but you had to leave, so I didn't get to. But
the acceleration, the comfort... The design itself is just, it's very Tesla-like with the big screen in the middle, but they also put a screen right in front of the driver, which Tesla does not have. I never did like that concept of putting all the instruments right in the middle of the dash. I didn't like it. The first company that I knew, well, there were some companies back in the old days, you know, in antique cars that did that. They put all the instruments in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's so that the passengers could see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I never did like the, remember the Saturn Ion?
Mm-hmm.
It had all of the stuff in the middle, all the speedometer and things like that. I don't think how fast I'm going and what my water temperature is any of my passengers' business.
Well, it makes you have to glance off to the right.
Yeah, that's just kind of weird. But the big screens are nice in that they're up pretty high on the dash, and you can see things out of the corner of your eye. I've also become somewhat of a fan of heads-up displays, you know, kind of like they use on fighter jets. You know, we have that on cars now, and you can order on some vehicles heads-up display. What that does, folks, is it displays certain key things like speed, fuel, temperature. You can change... it can be configured what it says, but it projects it on your windshield. And, you know, just below your line of sight so that, you know, it doesn't interfere with seeing cars and stuff out in front of you, or, you know, pedestrians or bike riders. It's just right there on the screen. It's on my wife's Lincoln that she drives. She has a Lincoln Continental. And I like that. So if you have the availability of that. Now, here's funny. Just people are different, right? PAD. That's what that stands for.
People are different.
People are different. My wife doesn't like the heads-up display. So when she has her setting in her car, you know, you have those little seat settings. Remember when you push one and it adjusts the seat to you? Press a two, it adjusts the seat to her. Well, now when you do that, it adjusts everything. So if I have heads-up display turned on, if I have certain radio stations pre-configured, you know, on my radio... any type of setting that I have on that car, steering wheel position, you know, like a lot of them have power steering wheel. They'll telescope, they'll tilt. You just program it in that little button. You push that button, and it changes everything for me. You program the other button, it changes everything for her. So one thing I have to be careful of, Tim, is I'm always button number two in her car.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to be button number one in her car, and I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't want her to be button number one in my car either.
Mm-hmm.
That's my space. That's just a joke.
You know, there for a while, cars would project like the speed limit, the speed you were going out on the road. Remember that?
No.
You don't remember those? They, no. There was a few cars that did that. Like it was like this 3D effect.
Was it on? It's really on your windshield, though.
Yeah, but it looks like it's out on the road. Is
yeah,
that what you're
that's
about?
What I'm talking about.
That's the heads up.
That's the heads up display. It looks like it's out there on the road, but it's actually being projected on your windshield off of a little projector on the top of your dash.
I didn't know that's exactly what the name
was. So are you totally up to speed now with what I was talking about?
Yeah.
So I'm talking all that talk before, you had no clue what I was talking about.
Well, no, I thought it was something new, something different.
Oh,
the heads up.
I get it.
I didn't realize that's what that was
that's
called.
Referred to as a heads up display.
Okay. Well, I thought that was kind of cool in a way.
It is cool
to have the speed out there.
But my wife doesn't like it because she thinks it interferes. It's distracting to her, and that's fine. Everybody's different.
I could see where some people would think that's distracting.
I mean, I can't imagine having the Google glasses or the Apple glasses, which they've never come out with.
Right. They've talked
really
about it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess they've been in trials and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. I don't want to see all that stuff on my glasses.
Right. Exactly.
But that's probably what's coming. I don't know what the next generation of innovation is going to be when it comes to personal information. The watch was a stretch.
Yeah.
But I love my Apple Watch.
They'll probably come out with contact lenses or something like that you can put in your eyes. That'll be little computers, like little cell phones, to where if you blink once or twice, you get, you know, you can read out certain things.
No thanks. I would like to have a microchip and put into my brain, though, so that I could remember all of my passwords.
No, you wouldn't.
I could just bring it up, say, please bring up the password. Make my fingers type the correct password for my app. Boom, there it would come out.
You know what I found a good way to do that, instead of forgetting so many passwords, is just make a note in your phone, in your phone's notes or mm-hmm. something about the different passwords. This is for this and that way.
I know what your passwords are.
What's that?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Password.
It's not much of a password.
Huh? Some people do password, 1, 2, 3, 4, that kind of
password. I rotate dogs, grandchildren, and certain numbers that are important to me,
mm-hmm.
and either the dollar sign or the question mark.
Yeah, I've done Bible verses.
When it requires a symbol.
Yeah, I've done Bible verses a lot. Like Romans 8:18, which is one of my favorites,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Well, that's everybody does something, right?
Everybody does.
I do want to talk about a little bit about the new vehicle that's getting ready to come out. It's kind of exciting if you're a Jeep lover. You remember the Jeep Wagoneer?
I do, yeah. Now they've come out.
When you think of the Jeep Wagoneer, what do you think of? Give me some attributes of the Jeep Wagoneer.
Well, I know a lot of them had the wood grain thing on it.
I was hoping you would come with that.
Yeah.
What else?
Four-wheel drive, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Big.
Boxy looking.
Big, boxy, heavy.
Yeah.
Real big padded seats and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Those kind of things.
Well, you're going to get that and more with the new Jeep Wagoneer. It's going to be, price is going to start at $58,000. And the top end Wagoneer, hold on, are you sitting?
Mm-hmm.
$111,000.
Buy a house for that, just about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I heard it costs to build a house right now?
I know the price of materials is just skyrocketing.
$200 a square foot.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
It is, yeah.
I think we're going to have to go back to living in barns.
You think so?
The guy that built my house was a barn builder. One day I was talking to somebody and said, "Who's building your house, Lenny?" And I said, "Mike Gosnell." He said, "The barn builder?" I said, "Yeah, he can build houses too."
And
he just builds it like a barn.
You have this desire to leave the doors open all the time.
That's right. Let
people,
the cattle in.
Remember what the old saying was? If you left the door open, your mom or dad would say, "Was you born in the barn, son?"
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Well, we'll take our first break and be back here in just a minute.
We are back. Thursday morning, My Car Guru, and we are pleased to be joined by Lenny Lawson, who is in studio with us here.
We're going to talk about rebates and incentives and dealer cash. We'll text that. So we'll talk about that here in just a minute. First, you might want to put a fence around your car if you do not have it in a garage, because there is a big-time crime thing going on right now, and it's been going on since the pandemic has been a thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people are desperate,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're getting pretty good size unemployment checks, and they get bored. So what do? They go out and steal catalytic converters
mm-hmm.
off of cars.
Mm-hmm.
You heard anything about that?
I've heard quite a bit about that, yeah. It's a thing.
So it's actually come. It's up like 400% thefts of catalytic converters. Recently, Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office. Of course, it would be happening out there, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course, in California,
because of all those folks that are out in California. Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department served search warrants in 4 locations last week. They arrested 19 of those little folks and recovered 250 catalytic converters with an estimated total value of $750,000.
So what is it that's so attractive about the catalytic converters? Explain that.
Well, there's platinum in them.
Mm-hmm.
There's some high-end metals that mm-hmm. are in catalytic converters.
Mm-hmm.
They are part of the vehicle's emission system. What they do is I remember when they first come out, people used to, or first come out? Did I just say that? When they first came out, people would call them Cadillac converters.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to turn my car into a Cadillac?
Probably not. Mm-hmm. But what the catalytic converters do is, there's my phone, they actually turn carbon monoxide and hydrocarbons generated by burning fossil fuels into carbon dioxide and water. Isn't that amazing? Chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't good at chemistry.
Yeah, I didn't like it too much.
Almost every car since 75 has one. Electric vehicles do not.
No.
Which means that almost every car is a potential target. As reported in Car and Driver magazine in December, catalytic converter thefts rose all across the U.S. from Wichita, Kansas to Lynchburg, Virginia, from South Bend, Indiana to Manchester. I wonder why they picked all those cities. Just north, south, east, west?
I guess. Maybe they're in a straight line or something. I don't know.
One clever solution used by a repair shop in Milwaukee was to deflate tires on vehicles waiting to be fixed so that it would be more difficult for a thief to crawl under and cut off the catalytic converter, just let the air out of the tires.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have a place to put them.
Yeah.
So you get it down low enough, they can't get their little electric saw in there. What they do is they cut off the exhaust pipe in front of and behind. They don't take the time to take off bolts or anything. They just get in there. And, you know,
it makes a lot of noise, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, it makes noise. But, you know, everybody's asleep.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know.
The guard dog is chained up, just barking his head up, head off. Anyway, the National Insurance Crime Bureau said they really were able to get the thefts down to a reasonable level. For some reason, other people just weren't thinking about it. You know, copper was a big problem, you know,
mm-hmm.
as far as construction. Old buildings and stuff like that, somebody's stealing the copper. But they got thefts down until 2015, but when, you know, the pandemic hit, people were looking and said, hey, man, let's go get us some converters. You know?
We can make some money.
So anyway, they can be worth hundreds of dollars. You just take it to an auto parts supplier or a scrapyard, and they won't ask too many questions. You know, you just walk in, and you've got a truckload of converters. You'd think they would call the police, but, you know, they can buy those if they buy them on the cheap and sell them on the high. Then, you know, sometimes the profit motive gets in the way of people's morals.
Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
That's not supposed to work that way. But there are a few steps you can take to prevent someone from stealing your catalytic converter, including obvious security measures like parking in a well-lit area, preferably with some surveillance cameras. I put some cameras. I got cameras all over my building now, and so I can see the thieves stealing from me
mm-hmm.
in HD clarity. I still don't know that I could identify them or stop them. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I could save the pictures and send to them. You know, they could put it in their photo album or something at home, their thief photo album. But anyway, I don't know what good security cameras do.
I think gives you a little more peace of mind.
Yeah, but it doesn't really do anything. Mm-hmm. The reason I have security cameras inside is just so that I can monitor what's going on in the dealership. Mm-hmm. I need to put one right in front of the bathroom. I want to see who these yahoos are going in my bathroom and trashing it.
Mm.
It's awful. You know, but anyway, I digress. They say that more dramatic moves like welding the bolts on your catalytic converter together or somehow etching your license plate number into the catalytic converter so you can track it. It's hard to believe that some part of your exhaust system would be valuable enough for somebody to want to steal it.
I know. Yeah, who would have thought?
So anyway, that's just one more thing for us to worry about. So anyway, lots of exciting stuff coming in not too distant future. We have the all new electric F-150 that's going to be coming out here soon.
Mm-hmm.
General Motors has a whole new slate of electric vehicles coming. We're going to see this happen, and whether they're going to sell or not in any kind of numbers, I just don't know. Tesla is a little bit worried though that they have no repair shops. You know, the big advantage that the domestic automakers have, and Japanese as well, and Koreans, is there are a lot of storefronts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a problem with your vehicle, you're not too far from a Ford dealer, right?
Right.
If you're traveling down the road, down the interstate, probably at the next exit or real close, there'll be a Ford dealer sitting there.
Right.
There's no Tesla dealer there.
Yeah.
If you break down in your Tesla and it stops, and it's possible, it happens, then you're going to have to wait on somebody to come. You're going to have to check into a hotel and make a reservation, go online, and make a reservation for them to come and you know, do whatever needs to be done, and then or rent a car or whatever. Who wants to do that?
So you could be there for a couple of days at the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that just doesn't sound like a plan to me. Mm-hmm. Is it you?
No.
So I would rather buy an electric vehicle from somebody that has a bunch of storefronts and service departments, mm-hmm. and things like that. Now, as a dealer, I'm concerned about, okay, how am I going to generate revenue in my service department with electric vehicles?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what can I do? Sell somebody a brand new vehicle. They're not going to be coming for oil changes.
No.
Transmission service. We don't have to check their engine coolant. None of that stuff takes. Even the brakes work differently. Now, they will wear out tires, but you know, all of the electric vehicles have very hard composite rubber tires that tend to last longer. They have lower rolling resistance. They last longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll still be able to do alignments, still be able to do brake jobs, but it'll be a different. Can you imagine what a brake job would cost on a regenerative braking system?
Yeah.
That's not going to be cheap.
Yeah.
So I'll do some investigating on that and see what it's going to cost to maintain your electric vehicle. I still have a feeling it will be considerably less, and the batteries are guaranteed for a long time. So it's changing a lot of different things about our business. But there is a lot of enthusiasm, people taking test drives of these vehicles, but they'll turn around and buy a Nissan Altima.
Mm-hmm.
Our grand opening is going really well with the new store, the new Gateway Nissan.
Mm-hmm.
We still want people to come down and enjoy our new buying experience. We've tried to create a buying experience inside the store that's like an online experience. You know, a lot of dealerships you go up to, you go check their online price. Good luck buying it for that.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you read the disclaimer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know one dealer that actually advertises vehicles online for what you can buy it for. Like, here's this particular car. I'm not going to say what it is. That you can buy it for this particular price. Then you go in and buy the car, and they say, oh, that didn't include the options that are on the car. What would you do, Tim, if you walked into a car dealership and they say, and you came in and say, yeah, I'd like to, but that's a great deal on that car. I'll be there tomorrow. And you go in and say, where's that car? Here's the website I got on my phone. There's the price on the car. I say, oh, Tim or Mr. Cable, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to add $3,000 worth of options to that car.
I'd
add options. They're already on the car.
Mm-hmm.
They were ordered with the car.
That's right.
You got an automatic transmission. Now I've got to pay for the automatic that's already on the car?
Yeah.
You seriously priced this car without the automatic transmission that's already part of the car?
Really?
You have got to be kidding me. This is the kind of stuff that gives car dealers a terrible name, you know,
mm-hmm.
when they play those games like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's listed online, that's what you should be able to buy the car for, and that's what you can at my dealership. If you go in and you look at the price online, that's the price you can buy the car for.
That's good.
Any place that does differently is playing a dishonest game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to be holier than thou. There's plenty of dealers out there that do it right. The majority of dealers do it right. So, you know, I don't care if it's a friendship dealership, you know, it's maybe John City Ford, there's so many good dealers. When I start naming dealers, I've got to be careful because I leave somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
But there's way more good dealers than there are bad. But if you see a different price online than you see when you go in the store, you need to just jump in your car and leave.
Say, see ya.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take our last break. We'll come back and wrap things up. We're back here as we say goodbye on this Thursday edition of My Car Guru.
I'm going to look at a cool car today.
Yeah?
The last full-size monster big Buick, Electra 225. I may have mentioned this to you, but it's a two-door,
mm-hmm.
which is rare.
That's rare, yeah.
White vinyl top, white on the bottom, red interior, 455 V8 with 8,000 miles on it, 76 model.
Oh, my goodness.
1976. You talk about a good cruising vehicle. I might just buy it just to drive, you know, to vacation or
there you go.
To Florida or something like that. So I'm kind of excited about that.
Mm.
And it's not expensive because it's not that valuable.
Right.
You know, here's a car that's just rare. This guy's got three of them in his garage, and they're all two-door Buicks with wow. the biggest engine you can get and rear-wheel drive.
Wow.
And so I probably won't buy the others because they're not as interesting. But this one's interesting because it makes me think about my grandfather.
Yeah.
He was a big Buick guy, big yeah. Electra deuce and a quarter.
That's
what they call him.
Yeah. Well, let us know how that turns out.
I will.
That'll do it for My Car Guru. We'll talk to you tomorrow.